Blog Talk Radio.
You can't do that. What are you thinking? You are not good enough. You are not going to get that job. You don't have an education. What? That is for smart people, not you. That outfit doesn't look good on you. You look ridiculous. You want to go where? With what? Money you don't have? Remember, you're broke and worthless. Nobody loves you. This is the voice of the toxic ego, the voice that is holding you back from your divine life. Dr. Nydia is here to guide you in learning to let go of this voice. She is here to teach you inner work, a journey through the soul, to empower you in creating a passageway to spiritual development. Dr. Nydia received her PhD from Union Institute and University in Psychology with emphasis in addiction studies. She is a registered clinical social worker intern and received her master's degree from Barry University. She is a certified addiction professional for the state of Florida. She is also a Reiki master, healing touch practitioner, and a master hypnotherapist. For more information, visit her website at www.dranidia.com, Dr. Nydia. Now, please welcome your host of Inner Work, Dr. Nydia.
So we tried to start with this song, but something else came on. I was thinking today, I heard a song by John Lennon, Imagine, and I've always loved this song. This is a beautiful, beautiful song. But more than that, the message that this song gives is incredible.
Yes.
Because it says, imagine all the people living with today. And that's what I teach. Are you going to get it back?
I think I can, yes.
Okay. All right, let's see if we can get it back.
Maybe we have some...
You may have some interference because sometimes, you know, stuff just comes on. Okay. Well, in the meantime, John Lennon had vision at some point because he wrote this song, or somebody wrote it for him, but I think he wrote it himself. The Beatles usually wrote their own songs. And the message is really very, very simple. There's nothing else. It's imagine there no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. What does that mean? The present. Living in the present. But if there's no heaven and there's no... See, the thing
no is, good, no bad.
No good, no bad. See, the duality is where we tend to get in trouble. As a species. So there is good, there's bad, there's you're too big, you're too small, and when we have that duality, there's always room for controversy. But imagine a world where there is no controversy. I can live in your house, you can live in my house, we can go here. My daughter-in-law, she comes from Kyrgyzstan. And in Kyrgyzstan, people come, family members come, and even friends will come from a village into the city, and they just knock on the door and say, I'm staying here for 2 weeks. And they say, fine, come on in. And they feed them, and they live with them, and they have a 2-week pretend to 2 months, but that's fine. And then everybody and anybody can come to your home and stay, and then leave, and it's everybody's welcome. I'm welcome in your home, you're welcome in my home. People that live in the city don't want to go back to the villages.
Mm-hmm.
But the people in the villages sometimes come to look for work in the city and whatnot, and you know, start making their own life. And we do this all the time. I know a lot of people from Central America. They come here and from other countries. But the people that I know are from Central America, mostly. And they come and they stay with relatives. You're from Cuba,
mm-hmm.
and you know Cubans come, and they stay in your house for a rich month, and then they, you know, they build a little nest egg and go on about their way, and then somebody else comes.
Yeah, always come.
Oh, always come, and they come with one hand in front and one hand behind. They have nothing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you help them. You know, I'm happy about helping them because sometimes they can be, you know, painful. But the point is that the tradition is already there. See? And when you talk about no heaven and no hell, there's no duality, there's no right, there's no wrong. At a high spiritual level, at a higher consciousness, there is nothing but the present. When you talk about powerlessness, for instance, there's nothing, you have absolutely no power over anything but your own mind. That's a fact. You can't convince somebody else to do something they don't want to do. Unless you coerce them and you mistreat them and you beat them up and you threaten them, and that's how it works. But I can't say to you, okay, Emma, from now on, I don't want you to live in the apartment. Go upstairs to the 18th floor and go find an apartment up there. Mm-hmm. What are you going to tell me?
Maybe nothing good.
Nothing good. Yeah, you have to think about it, right? You have to keep it clean. Right, because it's not my business where you live. I don't care, right? I have no power over you. You have no power over me. And the biggest problem that we have in the world today is that everybody wants to exert power over other people. We do it subtly or we do it openly, but we do it all the time. That's why there are wars. You're going to do things my way or I'm going to kill you and your people. See? We're hated by many countries because we live the way we live. For no other reason but because we live the way we live. As if we didn't have that right. See? And so when we get into other people's lives, then we're getting into something that's none of our business. And and this is what creates a lot of that problem. See? And then there's this film that goes, imagine there's no country. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Now, that sounds boring, doesn't it? We need to have sex in our life. We need to be fighting with somebody. I know people that fight just for the sake of fighting.
Yeah, I know people like that also.
There's really nothing wrong there. There's absolutely no reason to fight. They fight because the adrenaline rush, they're to this, you know, like, I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm gonna beat you to death, whether it's me or you that's going to die. And we kill each other for nothing. So, and there's no, imagine all people living life in peace. Can we do that?
Too many toxic egos.
That is correct. Too many toxic egos. That if we live staying in the present, and I know there are some people that just are never going to stay in the present, and there are some people that are really way off to plan far somewhere. And these people exist, they want to exist. However, we're creating the people that we create. I know people who have given birth to very healthy children and made them sick because of the sickness. See? So you have a healthy child organism who's not, and there's nothing wrong with the brain or the or any part of the physical being, and you're constantly yelling at this child and yelling, screaming, and beating. Well, the child, after a while, learns how to yell and scream and survives yelling and screaming and beating.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's how I was raised. I was raised being hit every day of my life until I was 19 and ran away. And how did I raise my kids? The same way. I yell and scream at them, and I hit them when I had to hit them, and when I didn't have to hit them. And, you know, life was torture for them. I'm surprised my kids turned out good as I did because, not because I was a good person. See? But I did what I was taught to do. I had to learn not to do those things. It was really a learning experience for me. It was like a little, I was a vicious little animal, came from the jungle or wherever, and I didn't know any better than what I was doing. So, it's important to know that we get what we are a product of where we come from. See, I had to learn. My parents never learned how to respect each other or their children or anybody else. See, when my mother was not talking to you, she was with you, she was talking about everybody else. When she was somebody else, she was talking about you. She was awesome. She talked about everything and everybody. And she criticized everybody. She yelled and screamed. That was who she was. And my father, he beat me. See, that's who he was.
And what is this, how it works, this process where you have, of course, you learn by the examples.
Mm-hmm.
But you grow in this kind of environment.
Uh-huh.
And when you, at 19, when you was 19, you run away, and you just met like your father, exactly like your father,
because, and I talked about this a lot, we are vibrational beings, and we attract the people at our level. See? When you're at a certain vibrational level, that's the kind of person you're going to attract. The only thing I knew was being with a person who was mistreating me and torturing me. See?
Yeah.
And so I was able I became, at that vibrational level, attracted to someone just like my father. See? And after him, I attracted a lot of men, just like my father.
Mm-hmm.
When that vibration stopped and I went to another level, and I'm not saying a better level or higher level, or I'm talking about just another level, different than the one I came from, a softer level, a more compassionate level, then I was surrounded by these people that were going to now teach me how to be more compassionate, see, and how to get out of the victim role and get out of the role that I was in, that tragic role that I was in all my life. That's the only one I knew, and that's the vibration that I had. See? And then I found, or they found me, a group of people that helped me get out. Their vibrational level brought me to another vibrational level. See?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go into this next level willingly, tell you right now. I kicked and I screamed. And I did nothing really to try to be there. But just being there, because they told me, change the people, places, and things that you're where you're in now. So I changed. Not because I was willing, but because I didn't want to continue for anymore. I just didn't want to be where I was. I didn't know where I wanted to be, but I knew wherever it was, it wasn't where I was.
Mm.
See? And so I fell into this group of people. And the thing is that when you want to change, the people, you know, what they say is that when you're ready to learn, your people will appear. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened to me. When I said, okay, I don't want this anymore, I can't deal with this anymore, I'd rather be dead. I really wanted to be dead rather than have to live another day the way I was living. And then, boom, everything opened up. It was like that person died and then the person emerged. And because you want that. You asked for that. I asked that. However, I didn't know what I was asking for. It wasn't that I said, this is what I want.
Yeah.
I didn't say I want peace and tranquility in my life. I just said this is not what I want. I want to be somewhere else where I can, you know, enjoy life better or something to that effect. And so suddenly all these people appeared, and that just that energy. I would go to a room. I would go into a room with the people. And to be in the room, even if nobody said anything, my whole vibrational level changed. Because their energy, see, their energy was what changed my energy. Their energy was so powerful that it just automatically changed mine. So I walk away out of these meetings, and it was like I was another person. And so gradually that stuck to me. And so then I grew emotionally at another level.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thoughts, when you change your thoughts, forget it. You change your whole life. And so when I started thinking, I stopped thinking self-destructive thoughts. Okay? And I started thinking of ways of how to use the techniques that these people were offering. Like they would say to me, don't drink just for today. Just today. Tomorrow you want to drink? Fine. But today, don't drink. And then one day I got that. I said, hey, you guys are tricking me. Because every time I say I'm going to drink tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, it's today. So now I can't drink because it's today and I can't drink. And I would say, tomorrow I'll drink and I can get it. And so, you know, that's how mature I was. That when I got it, it was like, hey, you're breaking me. Because every day is today. See? Because there is no tomorrow and there is no yesterday. And so, but I was willing to give it a try because I really didn't want to go back to the way I was living. It just, that was not an option. It was without a debt. And that was not an option either. I mean, the minute I started, my vibrations started changing, I started to develop hope.
Yeah.
So once I got hope, death was not on the table anymore. See? And so the whole thing is that when you imagine your life being different than what it is now, you don't like the things in your life now, imagine that. There's a different way of seeing things. There's a different way of doing things. And what you have to do is move away from people, places, and things that are going to be destructive for you. And this, after 36 years of being clean and sober, I still practice this. I still get rid of people in my life that are going to take away from my serenity. Not because there's anything wrong with them. They're fine. You know, they're happy doing whatever it is that they're doing. But I don't like the monster that I can get into being when some people can push my buttons because I'm still human. See? And there are people that can't push my buttons. And I have to stay away from those people because I know I'm not mature enough to deal with them. So as long as I can stay away from the kind of people that are going to push my buttons, then I'm fine. See? When I get mature enough, and I've matured quite a bit, but I'm still not mature enough to deal with certain people. See? And so my program says to me, stay away from people, places, and things that are going to do you harm, that are going to create chaos for you in your life. And so since I don't like arguing and yelling and screaming, I really don't like it. I get very sick to my stomach when I get caught up in somebody's nightmare.
And so I don't like feeling that way. So I have to protect myself. And this is what I've learned. Stay in the present. Protect yourself at all costs.
Yes.
Now imagine that everybody in the world, the whole world, were looking for the same thing. And we could all be at different levels, but we're all looking for the same thing. So if you're looking for is peace and harmony and happiness, first you have to also find it within yourself, but then you have to find it within other people. You can't be surrounded by people who are yelling and screaming at you, and you're yelling and screaming at them, and then you want to live in peace. You want to live in peace, you have to get away from the people that you're hanging around with.
Yes.
You want to get rid of the chaos, you have to get rid of the people that are creating the chaos. Because they're not doing it to you, you're doing it to yourself. But you know, we're the type of people that we do what the rest of the people around us do. People yell and scream, you're going to yell and scream. And if the rest of the people are at peace, you're going to be at peace.
Yeah, and most of the time, when we are alone,
mm-hmm.
We don't do the things that we do when we are in group.
Absolutely. We can do some terrible things when we're in a group,
yeah,
that we normally wouldn't do were we not in that group. Or hang around with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Someone that's going to tell you, here, try this. This is good for you. And you know it's not that you're going to try anyway because you respect this person for whatever reason, you know, you hold high esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important for us to understand this song. The John Lennon talks about living in the now, right? Staying in the present, being as one, living for today. There is nothing else. What else is there? What else is there?
Nothing. The present.
The present. There's nothing else. I would like to challenge anybody who thinks that there is something else and prove it to me. Because I've had people say to me, well, there is a past. No, there isn't a past. That doesn't exist. How do you know the past doesn't exist?
Because you can change it.
That's right. You can't go back. You can't open the door and walk into the past, change something, and then come back into the present. The same way you can't go to the future.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing else. And we have these movies of Back to the Future and stuff like that, and these contraptions where you can go back to the past and do things. No, they really don't exist. It's all movies. You know, it's somebody's imagination creating, you know, these time machines that will take you into the past, the future, whatever. They really don't exist. And nobody has come back no one has gone to the past and come back and said, hey, I just went back there and I killed my rapist,
mm-hmm,
before he was born.
Imagine.
Oh, that would be great if you could do that. Because now, you know, you can, if that were possible, you know, a lot of things would be different. But the fact is that they're not. And they are the way they are. So imagine no possessions. When I talk about, when this one talks about possession, it's like what I talk about having attachment. We have that movie, War of Roses.
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
That was an awesome movie to explain what the toxic key, up to where the toxic key takes you. Just for possessions. They killed each other. And even in the very, very, very end, when they're laying there dying, they reach for each other. But they were obsessed with each other to the extreme where rather than just give up their worldly possessions to the other, they would rather die. Because they really didn't want the possessions, they wanted each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they were killing each other in the process. That was a real we're moving. But the fact is that we do it all the time. Look at all the divorces. That takes years and years and years because somebody doesn't want to give up whatever. I don't want to give up the dog. This is my dog. No, this is my dog. No, that's my dog. No, that's my dog. And, you know, we fight for others. The dog, man, okay, that's me and that. So now they're going to fight about the land.
Yeah, and it takes years and a lot of money.
And a lot of money. But they keep each other engaged. They're attached to each other. They see each other as possessions. Where they own each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When we talk about my husband, his wife, it's like I were a possession. He's a possession. I have a chair. It's mine. And you are in that category of my furniture. You're a piece of my furniture. You're a piece of my property. See? So when you have possessions and we possess other people, that's not healthy. See? But imagine having no attachment to anything or anybody. When was it? Yesterday, day before yesterday, I got home from work and my little kitty was sick and I took her to the vet and she died in my arms. It was heartbreaking because she was my little kitty. She was still a baby. And I cried. And I cried for 2 days. But I understand that she's not my possession. She came to, I don't know how I got her. Because I think my other cat bought her. She was brand new. She still had no fur on her or anything. And we fed her with the bladder. And we kept her wrapped up in a little blanket, in a little towel. And we kept her warm. And we brought her back to life as an infant. She was very blue. And so, and now we've lost her. But the reality is, as painful as it is for me to lose her, the reality is that she's not even mine. She belongs to the universe.
Of course.
See? And this is her time. And I can't get caught up in the fellow, oh, my poor baby. I can't get caught up in that. Because the reality is that she's gone. And there's absolutely nothing I can do to get her back. As painful as it is. So when you have possessions, you cry and you become the victim and you poor me, look what happened to me. Well, nothing happened to me. It happened to a kitty. See?
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that happen. She's always been a little sickly. You know, I'm surprised she's lasted as long as she did because she's always been very, you know, kind of sickly and kind of always with the sniffles and a little delicate. And my other cat pushed her along a lot. You know, I had to keep protecting her. But life is the way it is. I can't have her as a possession because then now it takes away from what I have to do. And we all have something to do on this planet. Every single one of us has a mission, including my kitty, including my dog, including my other cat. We all have our mission, see? And we can't possess anybody. We can't possess anything because when they put you, you're going in there with what you have on and that's it. You know the box?
Yeah. Box.
Time box? Okay. So it says, imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of men. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You know that if you have something, the more you give, the more you get back.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is.
I know that.
If you feed people, the more you feed them, the more food you have. See? The more you love people, the more love you get back. The more you yell and scream at people, the more hate you get back, of course. See? So no matter what it is that you give, you're going to get it back. You're going to get it back tenfold. And it's said that kind, it's just as much energy to be kind as it is to be cruel.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the purpose of being cruel when in the final analysis you're the one that's going to lose out? Because then you're not going to have whatever it is that you are looking for. Can't be happy. But some people are happy making other people miserable. That's the whole thing.
That's true.
See?
Incredible.
So now, John Lennon says, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. What does that mean? That we can be united, completely united, regardless of who you are or where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about discrimination. Why? If you're not better than I am and I'm not better than you are and you have as much right on this planet as I do, why should I discriminate against you?
Because we're all people in the same way.
Absolutely. Well, that's the whole point.
And I don't think you'll get all the four together in the same pod.
Well, the whole idea is that we should try. And now, you heard the story of the 100th monkey?
No.
I don't know. There's a story about, I'm not sure what it was, the tomato, if they ate, whatever it was that they ate. They ate potatoes, something like that.
No.
But the 100th monkey is that in the island, the Galapagos Islands, or one of those islands like that. There were, I'm going to say potatoes, but I don't remember if it's potatoes or tomatoes or what. There was a fruit of some sort or a vegetable of some sort. And none of the monkeys would touch it. And it was in the sand and it was dirty and whatnot. And they looked at him, but they didn't touch him. And I have to look up the story, because at some point the younger monkeys started eating this fruit, let's say the potato, okay, and started washing them off at the river, at the water, and would wash it off and eat it, and nothing happened. And then another one would eat it. And this not only happened in one island, it happened in several islands where the monkeys were, the younger monkeys were eating this, whatever it was. And the older monkeys were, don't touch that, that's poison. After the 100th monkey ate that potato, whatever it was, then everybody started, it was like, boom, everybody started eating. And they noticed that around the world that things, just because one person does something, like the spirituality movement, see? In the beginning, it was like, yeah, you're crazy, that you know, nobody believed in what I teach. And we were all told that we were crazy. And went, no, all of a sudden there's a movement towards spirituality.
Yes.
So who's to say that this can't happen? See? Because what was once thought of as crazy, you're crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of that idea that we have to love each other. I mean, from the 1960s, when the love, peace, and rock and roll thing came about, you know, they thought that we were all crazy. And then now, even people who were very skeptical, even people now that are not religious talk about spirituality,
mm-hmm.
not in a religious sense. See, before it was, if you're religious, then you're spiritual, which of course we all know that's not true, but that's the third one. The thing is that when you start eliminating the dualities, the right and the wrong, there is no right and wrong when it comes to spirituality. There just is. It's what it is.
Yes.
If you look at different powers, controversial, but that's okay.
But if you look at the Twin Towers, if you say it was wrong, somebody's going to say it's right, of course. See? The people who did it, they celebrated in the streets, and they were happy. And we were crying, and they were celebrating, right? But in reality, what happened, happened. The fact is that it's not a right or wrong thing, because right or wrong according to who? So when you say it's right, then somewhere it has to be wrong. That's what we fight. That's why we fight. Exactly. But if there is no right or wrong, there just is. This just is. This happened. Whether it's right or wrong, it happened. See? And facts don't change just because you don't like them.
Yeah.
The facts are the facts. So if you're going to be mad at me, and we see it all the time in sports, right? You come out of a sports event and two people wind up shooting each other and five people wind up dead and, you know, 100 injured. It happens all the time because I'm right and you're wrong. Well, you know what? It's a game. A sports game is a game. Why are you killing somebody over it? If you put down a $5,000 on a game and you lost your $5,000 and you're pissed off, hey, I didn't tell you to put those $5,000 down. Why are you coming with it up to me? See, why are you mad at me? Because you lost your money. I had nothing to do with that. But yet we wind up killing each other because we're upset over something that we have nothing to do. Plus, even people don't put any money down on a game. They fight with the other people. Politics. I know a lot that if you say he's Republican, and if you say something against a Republican, he'll slap you. If you're a man, he'll punch you. And if you're a woman, he'll slap you right there in the street. I was with him in a restaurant a few years back, and somebody said something. He got up and punched the guy in the face and went back and sat down to eat. And I was like, what'd you just do? He said, no, this guy is an animal. And he was cursing the guy. I said, yeah, but he has a right to his opinion. And he looked at me like he was going to kill me. I said, hey, not me. You know, we all have a right to our opinion. Of course. You know, why should you hurt somebody because they don't agree with you? You know, that's what applies to life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of understanding that it is what it is. And if you can say, if you can accept the fact it is what it is, there is no changing it. I don't have to like it, but I don't have to hurt somebody because I don't like it. And it's nobody else's fault. I don't need to take my anger out on anybody else. See? So it's a matter of staying in the present. Don't worry about whether it's right or wrong. Toxic ego always wants to be perfect and always is right. And we don't see the big picture. What we do, this is very interesting. There's a big picture, right? You have a picture. And that picture, you take a little teeny weeny little piece of that picture and you focus just on that. And you don't realize that there's more to this picture than just that little teeny weeny little dot in the corner somewhere. See? There are thousands and thousands and thousands of pixels on that picture. But we tend to just stay focused on that one little thing. Because we're arguing with them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we argue with them. And yes, you did. No, I didn't. 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 That's a minute little argument about something that really isn't very important. And we're not looking at the big picture. You say you love somebody. You love your spouse. But yet you're picking on your spouse because your spouse didn't eat his peas. Spend the whole day cooking peas. Now he only ate 3 pieces of peas. Let let the rest of the be.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? First of all, it's none of your business what somebody else eats or does.
Mm-hmm.
See? And we're not looking at the picture. You're going to break up a marriage over a pea? And it happens all the time. Because now she tells her friends, yeah, because after all I did, and he's not eating his pea. And she's saying, Jesus Christ, all she wants me to do is eat my peas, and I don't want my peas. And you're looking just at the peas, and you're looking at the big picture, which is the marriage. See? The marriage and the children and the home and the everything else. We get stuck in one issue, on one teeny weeny little thing, and we don't realize that there's more to life than just that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to get people, yeah, but he does it all the time. He always leaves the toothpaste undone. Like, really? And I know marriage that happened up because of that. Because somebody forgot to put the top on the toothpaste.
Yeah.
Or close it, because now it's just a matter of closing, flipping.
Yeah, but I think when a marriage is broken because of that, it's because behind that there is a lot of other big things.
Maybe there is and maybe there isn't. But if they're working on whatever the big things are, they're not looking at the rest of the picture. They're just picking on one few little things. So now I don't want to stay in the marriage. Okay, for whatever reason. So now I'm going to nitpick. Because I really don't want to stay. The big picture is that I don't want to stay in the marriage. But I don't say, hey, I don't want to stay in the marriage. You know what? Because I want you to do something so stupid that I can say, see, this is why I'm leaving them.
Mm-hmm.
And blame you for the breakup. Instead of saying, I don't want to be in the marriage anymore.
Yeah.
I'm done. See? I'm the kind of person that if you mess with me, argue with me, give me a hard time all the time, it's not that you did it once and I'm done with you. No. You've done it to me over and over and over again to the point where I'm saying, I'm done. That's it. But I won't be upset. I don't stay silently upset.
Uh-huh.
I will simply say, you know what? I'm done. And I'm done. I'm not talking to you anymore. Go on with your life. I love you very much, but you go on with your life. I can't live like this.
Cause,
see? And I will just go on with my life. But I let them know. One way or another, I let them know. I'm done. You talk to me. I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. I have to tell you I'm not talking to you. I just have to stop talking to you. See? Yeah. And the person, when I do it, they know exactly why I'm doing it. There's no secret. When it happens, and it's happened several times in life, these people know exactly why, and they don't even bother coming back to me and saying, what happened? Because they know exactly what happened. None of them have ever come back to me and said, what happened?
Yeah.
One, because they blame me for what happened. Because I'm always the bad guy, you know. They're never the bad guy. They never did anything wrong. I'm always the bad guy. And second of all, they really don't want me to tell them why. Because I will tell you, if you want to know, I will tell you. And I don't want to be cruel. That's like the thing. I have to stop talking to you, because if I continue talking to you, I'm really going to hurt you. And then you're going to hate me, and you're going to have a reason to hate me.
Yeah.
See?
I've been married just once. And I left the house. Because I felt the need and the necessity to do
the devil.
To do physical harm.
Physical harm.
And I told myself, if I do something like that, because I'm crazy.
And you're going to jail.
So finished here.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to do that. Doesn't matter whether the other person understands or not.
No, of course.
It really doesn't matter. I was working in a place where I just stopped talking to this one person because she was driving me crazy. She really was. Finally, I said, you know what, I'm done with it.
The worst is when it's your boss.
It could be my boss, it could be anybody. If it's my boss, I quit. But this one person, She asked me, she said, whoa, what did I do? And I just looked at her like she's crazy. And she never asked me again. She did not, she knew. She knew exactly what she had done. And so I said, no, I'm done with you. Because we were in the middle of a conversation and I was getting ready to tear into her. And I said, oh, I don't want to go there. I'm not going to do that.
Of course.
And I said, you know what? I'm done with you. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm done. That's it. That's all to her to this day. And she did ask me, she said, well, what did I do? And I looked at her like, what? Really? We just had this conversation and you're asking me what to do? I tell her that. I just said, look, and she just backed off and said, I left it at that because, no, you can't put yourself in a position where you're going to do something that you're going to regret later on. Yes. You're the one that has to live with whatever it is that you do. You're responsible for whatever comes out of your mouth. You're responsible for whatever behavior you have. So if you're going to insult someone, then you're better off just not saying anything. Let them imagine what they want to imagine. They think you're wrong anyway.
Yeah, I don't. I had an experience. People have insulted me. I have a few times in my life insulted someone, mm-hmm. something that happened. But I had this experience with someone that it was something like always. This person had to insult other people.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a woman, and she used to, when I heard this person insulting, and I heard a few times with a few different people,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, how can she have in her head all this information prepared to throw it to the other person like that? It was offensive, it was, any person could take a knife and kill her, because it was really bad.
Really?
She uses the word like bullet, and but she had, for now, nobody, arrest her in a physical way because of that. But I'm sure she's
gonna fighting words.
Yeah, but I'm sure she's gonna get one day she's gonna be
sending the wrong person.
Yeah, she's gonna be scared.
Yeah, and that's what happens. You know, I know how to do that. I know how to make you feel really, really small. And I don't want to do that. See, I don't want to get to the point where I'm going to really hurt you and offend you that way. Because then I feel bad. I have made up my mind that I don't want to be that person anymore. I used to be like that. I don't want to be that person anymore. So it's a matter of I have to just back off.
Yeah.
Because I know how vicious I can be. Because
you have to avoid the situation where you get that your mouth, the words
exactly. Because I know how I'm going to feel afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I can call you every name in the book, and I can right away because I know what your weaknesses are. Weaknesses, and I know what your real red hot buttons are, and I can push them and make you feel real small.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I know people's secrets, because they tell me their secrets.
Yeah.
And I don't want to come back and say, you did this, or you're this, or you're that, or you're the other thing, or remember when you told me this? Yeah. Well, I wasn't supposed to talk about it. You know what? I'm talking about it. And I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, when I get drunk and I get drunk, I tell everybody's secrets. And now I tell people, hey, you don't want me to tell anybody your secrets? Pay me. I'm your therapist. You pay me, I have to keep your confidentiality. Otherwise, I don't have to keep your secrets.
And so, you know, I don't want to be cold there. I don't want to be low that way. And I can if I want to. And this is the whole reason why I have to stay away from certain people, because don't push me. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. It's in your best interest to leave me alone. See? And most of my family knows me. Most of my friends know me. And they know that they don't really want to mess with me, because I can bring up stuff.
Yeah.
That I know and the family knows, but other people don't know. You know. So it's a matter of, you have to get the idea out of your head that you have the power, because it makes you feel very powerful, mm-hmm. that you can humiliate somebody. See? Mm-hmm. And some people need that kind of collective power. It really is. Because now you told my secret. Now what power do you have over me? None. Mm-hmm. I just hate you.
Yeah.
Really? Do I want that energy?
Of course not.
No. So I try to avoid as much as I can. I try to prevent that from happening, simply because I don't want to be living in that kind of energy. So it's a matter of staying in the present, staying in the now. Get rid of the duality. Get rid of the right and wrong. Because what we think happened, whatever it was that we thought happened, it really didn't. It didn't happen the way we said we happened. And because a lot of times you told me something, I told you something, we had an argument, now I'm going to tell somebody else what you told me, because I'm not going to tell them what I said. I'm not going to tell what you said. You know, I'm not stupid. And so I'm going to tell them my perception of what you said. Not really what you said, but my perception of what you said. And mm-hmm. every time I say it, it's going to change. Because I'm going to tweak and I'm going to tweak and I'm going to tweak. And before you know it, it's nothing what really happened.
Yeah.
Right? So I get to the point where I'm not discussing this anymore. I don't care what you said. I don't care what I said. We disrespected each other, and that can't happen again. And if I have to take myself out of the picture so it doesn't happen again, then I'm taking myself out of the picture. It's that simple. Because I don't want to live knowing that you're resentful of me, because you don't have a program. I do. Mm-hmm. See? So I know you're still dealing with whatever it is, whatever knowledge that you have, and whatever ideas that you have, and you're reacting and responding accordingly.
Yeah.
See? So I don't want to be in that kind of energy and walking on eggshells, because I have to be careful what I say, because you're gonna feel bad. I don't care if you feel bad. I'm not going to walk on eggshells just so that you feel good. You know, you have to be mature enough to feel good because you feel good, not because what someone said. See?
Yeah.
And so we live in a world where I have to be careful not to offend you because if I say the wrong word, oh my God, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, I have to be careful what I say to her because her kitty just died and she's so sensitive, I don't want her to stop crying. Well, no, you can't walk on eggshells like that. Not your responsibility for me crying. See?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we understand that we have to live in the now. Don't worry about what other people think of you. Doesn't matter what other people think of you, because they're wrong. No matter what they think, they're wrong, because they're not in your skin.
Of course.
Whatever you think about other people, you're in their skin. You have no idea why they say and do the things they do. See? And a lot of people will say to me, oh, you like this or you like that. And I say, where did you get the idea that I like this or I like that? Oh, because the other day you were talking about this, and just because I talked about something doesn't mean I like it or dislike it. You can't assume that I like it or dislike it.
Mm-hmm.
But we do. We make those assumptions because we become mind readers and we think that we know what other people want and what other people do. See?
Yeah.
So it's a matter of let's grow up and let's stay in the present. And we've run out of time.
Yeah.
Do you see that? So we're going to play Shame and Roll. How can anyone ever tell you? And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Could anyone ever tell you you are deeply.